living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my
soul. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. Today we've got another miraculous birth announcement and the introduction of Jesus' family. You know, normally birth announcements come after the baby's born, but in his story, they come before the babies are conceived. This is his story we're talking about. So I titled the message today, Glory Days, and asked Maisie this morning, actually woke her up with this request to read the scripture for us today. So she's going to read Luke 1, 26 to 38.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the story that you have preserved for us about how Jesus came into the world. And we ask you that today it would sink deeper into our hearts, that it would be an announcement to us of the King, and that we might trust him today. Pray the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Well, on Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday, I took part in this recognition ceremony. They invited members of my swim team to come to Warren Central High School at the swimming pool to be recognized for our 30th anniversary of our state runner-up championship. And at first, I wasn't looking forward to that, you know, reunion kind of thing. But, you know, it was really a lot of fun. I saw some guys that I hadn't seen in 30 years, remembered some things that we'd gone through, some horrible things that we went through together. Saw my coach, Con Keller, and I saw some old pictures of my senior swim year that stirred up some memories, pictures like this one. I'm the one standing in the middle of the guys with the Mohawks there, right there in the middle. That's our state champion relay team. We won state in 85 and still hold the school record at Warren Central with that swim team. I was the only senior on that relay team, and my brother's standing behind me there, so that's kind of cool that we now get to share that memory together. So I guess you could call those my glory days. My glory days. So now the pool that we swam in is filled in, and it's a cafeteria for the freshmen. Most of the guys that I swam with have moved on from swimming, don't even get wet anymore. So I tell you, it was great. It was great to be with them, to remember some of the stuff that we did. Like going to practice in the winter at 6 a.m. when the pool heater was broken. Yeah, we did that. Climbing to the top of the gymnasium on poles using only our arms. Yeah. The glory days. As I remember, a lot more pain than there was glory. But remembering all that nonetheless stirred up in me some nostalgic feelings, and it was a lot of fun. Well, his story has a lot of glory days. In fact, you could say that every single day of his story is a glory day. And we're going to get to focus on one of those. Soak our hearts in this moment that Mary has with the angel. And I have no doubt that the Lord will stir up in us something good from doing that. So in verses 26 and 27, Luke provides again some details for us that put this on a timeline, linking them to what we just read last week and moving us to this next great event. So this is the beginning of history, his story. It was a day of history, and it was lived by these well-known people that were history-making people. I'm going to read them again as we go through. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and the house of David, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So it says we are now in the sixth month. Now, the sixth month of what? Well, this is where you can kind of take the paragraphs and move them together in your Bible. This is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. You know, she hid away for 5 months worshiping God, and now she's out in the open. Now the blessing of what has happened is known. Gabriel is mentioned. He is the same messenger that was sent to Zechariah in the previous story to deliver that birth announcement. This one is now in a different place. We are 90 miles north of Jerusalem in Nazareth. So we've moved locations. And Gabriel is sent to this young girl named Mary, who is betrothed to a man named Joseph. And Joseph is said to be from the family of King David, which is a pretty important family in his story, not to mention history. So some things to keep in mind as we relive the glory days of Jesus' earthly family here. When it says that Mary was a virgin, it means two things. It means that she was really young. Some say as young as 12 or 13, not older than 18. She was a teenager. And it also means that she'd never been with a man, something she attests to later on in her conversation with the angel. She was sexually pure. And then Joseph, he had entered into this contract with Mary's family to marry Mary. That's hard to say. Does it make sense? To marry Mary. Yeah, he's in this contract. He's betrothed. That's what that means. And so that happened. That basically was a time period that lasted about a year. And it was there so that Joseph could go prepare his home to bring Mary home as his wife. So in the eyes of the community, this was a legal marriage. It just hadn't happened in terms of them coming under the same roof. So Joseph, most likely, he was getting things ready at his house. He might have been building a house or adding on to the house that he owned. He was a carpenter, so he was putting his skills to work. And you can imagine how special these days were for him, thinking about Mary coming to live with him as his wife. You know, special days for him. And then we can suppose Mary was looking forward to her new life as a wife. Now, she might have had a little more fear and trembling, being the age that she was, but that's how the culture did things. And these were special days in the lives of Mary and Joseph, historic days. Now, some other things to keep in mind. God is in these verses too. He is right in the middle of it. God is present. He is there in Nazareth, and he is in the lives of Mary and Joseph. And not only is he present and there, he's interested. He's interested in the lives of Mary and Joseph. And not only is he present and interested, he is wanting to work in their lives. He's wanting to make his plan move forward that he's had from the beginning of creation, and use Mary and Joseph to make that happen. Now, Mary wasn't a random selection. Okay, she wasn't a random selection. We don't really know a whole lot about her life. We'll learn a little bit more as we go on in the story. We know the angel says to her that she was favored. She was called, O favored one. In verse 30, she has found favor with God. So you question, well, was that because of the virtuous life that she was living? Or was that just because God selected her to be the mother of Jesus? Well, likely it was both of those things. But it only had to be the latter for her to be favored. It only had to be that God selected her to be the favored one. And I thought, I don't want to tarnish Mary's reputation as Jesus' mother. But if you look at the history of God's decisions about the people that he uses in the Bible, you don't always see virtuous people being used. You don't always see the best people getting used to carry out God's plans. You know, if you go and read Genesis, you'll find people there that were not perfect. You look at the disciples, not perfect guys by any stretch. You look at Paul, starting off as Saul, you know, murderous guy trying to stamp out the church. Not perfect people, but God entered their lives and turned them upside down to carry out his plan, to make some glory days. So God wanted to use Mary to fulfill his words in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So I am sure that Mary was the model teenager. I'm sure. But we should be aware that she didn't have to be for God to use her. Okay? Now look at Joseph. I don't see anything special there either. The Bible identifies him as a carpenter in Matthew 13:55 and a just man in Matthew 1:19. And here in Luke, he's called a son of David. So think of Joseph as a working class guy. He's a carpenter. He's a builder. That's what he does. So he's not somebody who is special. He's not someone who has a religious pedigree like Zechariah did, being from the priestly line of Aaron. Both Mary and Joseph came from King David's family. But you know, they didn't have any choice in that. That was God's doing. He put them in King David's family tree. So that may have been the only claim to fame that they had. God made this promise to David back in the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 16, it says, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." That's a promise God made to David. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. So Jesus' parents needed to come from the line of kings so Jesus could be in the line of kings. And since patriarchy was such a big deal back in their day, you know, basically that means that everything was kind of traced through the dad and families. God set it up so that both parents, the natural mom and the adopted dad, came from the royal family. So it's a day of history for us to look at a couple of ordinary people God using to bring about his plan, bring his son into the world. Well, did you know today, this ordinary day, December 7th, not ordinary for Zach since his birthday, but it's ordinary for most of us. This could be a day when you look back and go, that was a glory day. That was a glory day for me. All you have to do is realize that God is here. And not only that he's here, but he's interested in you, whether it's your birthday or not. God is interested in you. And not only that, he wants to work his plan for you. Did you do the homework I assigned last week? Making that marker of your life, kind of looking over every area of your life. You know, I don't think that's an easy assignment to do. But looking at all the relationships, looking at all the places you spend your time, kind of trying to see where is God working in my life? Where is he calling me? What is he doing? Well, this is kind of similar, but it's different. Because this is about an attitude. It's an attitude in your heart. Do you have an attitude that, you know, I'm just not good enough? Or I'm just not special enough? Or I'm just not talented enough? I'm not perfect enough for God to pay any attention to me. I got too much stuff, too much mess, too many mistakes that God would want anything to do with me. Yeah, sure, you love me. You sent Jesus to die for me, but like, be present in my life, be interested and want to use me? Is that an attitude that you've got? As a follower of Jesus, someone who has a relationship with God, here's the thing. We've got to define what Glory Days is. Glory Days changes. It changes from days when I was getting glory to days when God is getting glory through me. And that's when history happens in our life. That's when His story combines with our story, and history is made in our lives. And this could be a day of history for you, a day when His story collides with yours, and it transforms it into a glory day. You look back and go, wow, that was amazing what God did there. Now the verses continue, and Mary and Gabriel, they meet up. And at the time that this happened, it was a day of trouble. Let me read it again. It's worth reading again. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Now I thought, this is one of the most famous conversations in the history of the world. Isn't it? I mean, it's so famous, it was given a name. It's called the Annunciation. It's got a name. Can you imagine that? So these glory days of Jesus' story, they are at their finest as we read them. But when they were happening for Mary, it was trouble. A day of trouble. First of all, this, I mean, think, the angel shows up. You know, we don't know how it happened. We don't know where she was at. We don't know if she was at the well getting water, if she was home in her bedroom waking up. But it had to be kind of scary. Had to surprise her. It said she was frightened. And that these words that he said, she had trouble figuring out what they meant. This hello. Now the words that the angel used, "The Lord is with you," that's just not any greeting. It's just not like, hey Mary. No, they had some significance. They were always used in the Old Testament as a greeting when God had chosen someone for a special task. And if you go back and read in Judges 6, there you have the story of Gideon. And an angel of the Lord is sent to Gideon, and he starts with, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon questions that. He questions the greeting. And that's what Mary's doing here, the same. "The Lord is with me? Favored one? What are you talking about?" And then Gabriel goes on to deliver this message from God. "Don't be afraid," he says. "God's found favor with you. You're going to conceive a child. And you are going to have a boy. Call him Jesus. He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. God is going to give him David's throne. He's going to reign forever. His kingdom will have no end." Now all of that spells trouble for Mary. And she asks, how? How can this be, since I've never been with a man before? How can this happen? So let me break into the conversation right there. So at the time that this message is being delivered, remember, Mary is the legal wife of Joseph, but not the practical wife. She hasn't come together with him. And to turn up pregnant can only mean one thing, because we all know how people get pregnant. She either had an affair, or she and Joseph came together before it was time. So this would be scandalous news in the community. And it would put her life in danger. Such activity could be punished by stoning. So these don't seem like glory days at all. God, what in the world are you doing? How can you be good to put Mary in such a situation as this? How can you be good? Now, for us, looking back on this, knowing the story, we can see how that it was good. We can see how it was a glory day. But the challenge we have is to be able to see the same thing in our lives today when the day of trouble comes to us. That is the challenge that we have. Because see, whether we listen to this or not, whether we know it or not, we are surrounded by this message that because God is good and almighty and wants to bless us and favor us, that we are entitled to health, wealth, and the good life. And that's the water we swim in. Whether we listen to that message or not, that's what we hear. And we are never promised that. Never promised that. The only place we're looking for that is in our future home together with the Lord. You know, that's what we're promised. But here, not so much. So the challenge we have is when a day of trouble comes for us, will we continue to be faithful looking to God and His plan for us in the middle of that? Or will we try to get out of the trouble and take matters into our own hands? So will the trouble turn us to God or not? You know, last month, a couple of guys in our church had some trouble on their jobs specifically. And both of those guys called me and wanted to tell me about it and wanted to believe together with me that God was up to something. And they wanted to pray. And as I thought about this, and as I thought about the day of trouble coming, and them turning to God, I thought, yes, that's what I'm talking about. They called me to pray. And so, fellas, as a high five. That's how to do it. The day of trouble does not mean that God is not with you. In fact, it can mean the exact opposite. So you got trouble with God. So you got trouble with Him, okay? That's going on in your life. I would imagine you can trace that back to a sin problem every time. And if you are having trouble, that's a really good thing because that means that His Holy Spirit is telling you, you got a problem. And when you come under His leadership and lordship and allow His power to take care of that sin problem, because you don't have any power to take care of your sin problem, but God does. When you do that, guess what that is? That's a glory day. If you got trouble with your enemy, the devil, that can only mean one thing. That you are following Jesus in such a way that it is shining a light and growing the kingdom. Because the devil doesn't have to worry about Christians who are asleep in the light. It's the ones that are shining their light that he has to worry about. So if you got trouble with him, guess what's going on? Glory days. And if you got trouble with life, it's because you're alive. And we live in a fallen world. And it's in that moment that we can turn to God and cling to Him and let Him have His way as we walk through. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. That's what we want. We want a Psalm 23 experience in the middle of the day of trouble. You know, Jesus actually promised His disciples that in this world you will have trouble. And then he said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And if you look at Jesus' life, the Savior of the world, the King, the one who is reigning, look at his life. Where did it lead? Trouble. Led to trouble. Now, the good news is trouble doesn't disqualify us from having glory days. So realize that it's probably going to be part of most of them in our life with him. Now, the next few verses are Gabriel's response to Mary's trouble. And you're going to find that glory days are days of grace. Verses 35 to 37. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Now, I think it's kind of curious how Mary's response to Gabriel's news is almost identical to Zechariah's response, but Zechariah got rendered mute and Mary gets an answer. What's going on there? Zechariah said to Gabriel, "How shall I know this, since I am an old man?" And Mary said, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Almost identical responses. And some have explained this as Zechariah is asking out of unbelief, and Mary is asking out of belief. And I can see that, because Zechariah, he wanted to know if it was going to happen. But Mary wanted to know how it was going to happen. So you can see that. Now, another possibility is this, that Mary, she's young. She's a teenager. Zechariah's got a lot more life under his belt, and life can be hard. And so Mary has got a lot more innocence than Zechariah would have. And so the grace that she needed to believe wasn't something that needed to come in the form of suffering or discipline from God. She needed understanding. She needed encouragement. And that came in the form of another person. Another person who was evidence for her to believe that God was going to keep his promise to mankind, his salvation promise, and bring the Messiah. And she was going to be the one who he used to do that. So the answer that Mary got was that the Holy Spirit was going to come over her, and the child she would conceive would be called Holy. Now, that's important for us. It's important for our salvation. Now, Jesus was not infected with original sin. God's power, the Holy Spirit, overcame Mary, overcame her sin. To have a life with God, we have to be sinless to have a life with God. And the only way to settle out sin, to get to sinlessness, is through a death. Sin has to be paid for with death. And so if Jesus would have been born like the rest of us, with a human mother and a human father, original sin would have been passed down to him. And when he died on the cross, he would have been dying to pay for his own sins. But that's not what happened. 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we sang, "He became sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's what happened. Gabriel then goes on to tell Mary about her cousin Elizabeth, that she was pregnant with John. So this is someone that Mary would have known her whole life, someone that Mary would have known about that struggle that they had gone through to have a baby, somebody that Mary could look at in the flesh and know that miracles can happen, that nothing is impossible with God. These are days of grace. How has God helped you believe in the past? How has he given you grace in the past to believe? You know, last week we had the example of suffering for Zechariah. And this week it's Mary gets another person to come alongside her and believe with her that God was up to something really big. You know, I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've been thankful for believing friends who've come alongside me and helped me believe, helped me keep following. When we started the church, there was two families that were going to come from Brookville Road. And they had they came with us and we started meeting once a month before the church was kind of out in the open. And then after a couple meetings, they realized that, you know, this just wasn't going to work for their families. And so they told me that they were going to stay. So aside from the pain of leaving more friends behind at our old church, they were the whole worship ministry. So it was a day of trouble. It was tough days for me to believe and to keep going, believing God was calling and He was leading in this effort. And so I had a little time to figure it out. I had about a month, and I started thinking about finding help for our next meeting. And so I called Pastor Shane, and he told me he and Nicole could come and do worship for us. We met in a business down there across from the airport in their gym. It's where we held worship that Saturday night. And it was good. They came, led worship, and then the next week that led us in conversation, and we realized that God was working to actually bring them here and to help us grow the church, help us get things started. So God had given me someone to believe with. He had given me grace. And that's what Pastor Shane has been to me in my life. He has been God's good grace to help me believe. It reminded me of Jesus sending out His disciples by twos, you know, to go out and spread the good news. So I'm telling you about some glory days in my life. You know, days God showed up and I could see His hand at work and I could see His heart for me. You know, His interest and His plan working out in my life. Well, a couple months ago, I called Pastor Shane again and asked again for some worship help, and he was willing to come and help out a couple of times. And once again, God has led us to a place where we're going to work together to grow this church. And He is proving again to be God's good grace to me and for my faith. So last week, the elders approved Shane to start as our worship pastor here in December, and I'm looking forward to seeing how God uses him in our midst to lead us in worship. Now, I wanted to say, don't worry about Pastor Mike. Okay, he thought this was a good idea too, and actually, Shane's proven to be good grace to him and his family, as Mike has been to me to help keep things going. Now, you might wonder, how many pastors does it take to shepherd about 100 people? And I'll just say to that, the answer to that is as many as God calls. All right? I need a lot of help. So it's good. What's happening is good, and we see God in it. We've prayed about it. We see God's hand in it, and I'm very thankful for His grace to me. These are glory days. They're happening right before your eyes. It's part of the story of Living Streams, and it's good. Okay, so let's finish up. Verse 38, Mary responds to this event and makes this glory day a day of trust. She says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So it's absolutely remarkable how she responds to this message coming from one who is so young. But again, her youth, her innocence might be to her advantage to be able to believe what this what the angel is saying, be able to trust God like she is. There is no doubt that she looked back on this day as a glory day in her life. No doubt she remembered it with fondness when God sent Gabriel to her and singled her out from everyone else to bring the Savior of the world into the world. What does she have to do in the moment to trust God? What did she have to do? She had to submit to God's will, and she had to sacrifice herself. Her future with Joseph, her plans, all of that had to go on the altar to be able to trust God. "I am your servant. Let it be done to me like you said." I am your servant. Let it be done to me like you said. Would you like to have the best Christmas ever? You know, like one for the record books? One that will be history. It will be a glory day. Make this a day of trust. Make it a day of trust today. Did you know that you can't do life with God based on yesterday's trust? It doesn't work that way. You can't say, I trusted Him for salvation when I was 13, so I'm good. I trust God. You can't say, I trusted Him to get me through that hard day of trouble, you know, last month. I trust God. It doesn't work that way. Trusting God only happens in the present moment. Now, when you look back on those glory days of trust, they're there for a reason. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. They're there to help you trust God in the present moment. They remind you of who He is and how faithful He is and how He came through for you and what He did in your life back then so that you can trust Him in this moment today. So what do you need to trust God with in your life? Is it something in your family? In your marriage? Something at school? Something with your future? What is it? On your job? What do you need to trust God with today? What do you need to say to Him? I am your servant. Let it happen to me according to your word. Well, I have an example of what that looks like. It's just kind of a common, everyday example. Guy's going to tell his story via video to just show us what that looks like in our world. All right, so let's watch that.
Nursing is unique because it's probably one of the main professions where you're with the patient all the time and you have that opportunity to be with the patient right before they are put under and go into surgery. There was a patient there, she was Hindu. She had asked me a lot about Christianity, and so I was able to share with her about, you know, what Christianity is, what is it to be a follower of Christ. And that same day I met a chaplain who was there, and I was asking him, how do you minister to different patients of different belief systems in an effective way? That is the time when he went on the offensive, and I saw his, even the way he stood, his tone of voice, everything about him changed. And he no longer asked me questions. He started making statements about me. He did not want Christianity, true belief in Christ, to be an option for any patient. And so sure enough, I was called to the office, and they ended my contract because I shared my faith. I knew that legally I was entitled to. Praying with a patient and sharing your faith is definitely allowed, and it's actually encouraged as you go through nursing school. When you're dealing with patients who could literally die in the next moments or right before they go into surgery or during surgery, absolutely we have a responsibility to minister to that in some way, to address that need.
He had tears in his eyes and told me, you know, he had just been let go. I already knew in my mind exactly kind of what had happened because we had sort of felt prepared for that. But I did again feel like, man, my world has been rocked.
I remember telling her dad, you know, I'm going to take care of your daughter. I made this promise at the altar, and here it is only a couple months into marriage, and then bam, I don't have a job. What am I going to do? Samantha and I considered following up with a lawsuit, and I really just, I thought about, you know, what do I want to have attached to my name?
Jeremiah pretty much told me, I really don't think this is what God has for us. I really took that to heart. We were in a huge waiting period. I had feelings of doubt when we had to wait for 3 months or so till we found the next job.
Now I've got my wife, you know, in insecure situations, and no longer do I have a, you know, paycheck that I know of that's going to come in, and no longer will we have insurance, and no longer will we have a house, and we're going to have to move right away. We have to pack up all our bags. And why didn't I just go the route that wouldn't have caused that conflict? And you know, why can't I just have chosen the way that was easy? I would be angry, and then I'd be satisfied. I'd be hurting, and then I'd be okay. The thought of just giving up is actually a really sad thought, but it's a natural thing that happens. Did I ever have those thoughts? Yeah, I did.
I had the fears of, well, what if he says something again and something happens? I obviously had the insecurities of not having a job.
Looking back on that situation definitely made an impact on the things I would say next. And I was very hesitant to even tell anyone that I would even go to church, let alone be a Christian. And for a period of time, for about a good solid year, I was almost silent. And then after a while, that fear, you know, God kind of worked in my heart, and the pain has gone away. And now I can be more bold. I can share my faith more openly as the opportunities present themselves. At this time, I'm working as a home health nurse. I'm using every opportunity I can to share Christ. I've prayed with my patients. I'm loving them. I'm loving people. I'm doing the things that Christ wants me to do, and I'm being the person that God wants me to be. My passion is, you know, Christ. It's allowing God to work through me and just simply being faithful to Him, being the person that He created me to be, and allowing Him to work in me and through me. And wherever that takes me, you know, and Samantha, we'll go.
Yeah, I love what he said there at the end. Wherever that takes me and Samantha, we'll go. I am your servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. Those are days of trust. Josh was telling us about glory days in his life. You know, being fired for being faithful to lift up Jesus' name. You know, and then going through that time of being afraid to do it and what might happen again, and then getting his faith back under him and getting back in the groove of shining his light and doing good to lift up Jesus. Those are glory days, and they involve days of trust. So what do they look like for you? What do glory days look like for you in your life with God? God is here. He's here. And He's interested in you. And He wants to work in and through your life to bring about His plan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. We get to go out and celebrate Him this week. Special season. We ask you, Lord, to work in us and through us. Help us to trust and to follow where you lead. We are your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.